Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, in the Gregorian calendar, and the 23rd of Adar. That's the second month of Adar. We had a leap year this year, two Hebrew months of Adar, 5784 in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. Israeli negotiators have returned home from Cairo, where talks with Hamas were held. The Israelis are now awaiting a response from the terror organization. Netanyahu's office commended Egyptian mediation while indirectly criticizing Qatar's role in the negotiations. Negotiators led by Mossad, Shin Bet, and IDF officials aimed to secure a deal for the release of hostages held by Hamas in Gaza. Despite challenges and stalled progress, Israel remains committed to finding a resolution, with tensions evident over Hamas's demands and Israel's stance on security measures. The Times of Israel says Israeli officials were expressing their frustration over Qatar's unwillingness to press Hamas to move forward to a compromise. Friday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gave the Israeli delegation approval to resume indirect negotiations, and the latest rounds of talk began on Sunday. Israeli officials say there is progress being made. Israel is now admitting to mistakenly carrying out an airstrike that killed seven staff members of a U.S.-based charity group while they were unloading food in Gaza. The strike prompted a pause in operations by the World Central Kitchen. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu acknowledged the incident, and he called it tragic and unintentional. He's now promising a thorough investigation. The Israeli military vowed to investigate the incident at the highest levels and express condolences to the victims' families and the charity group. International condemnation followed, with demands for accountability and calls for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. The World Central Kitchen, or WCK, were killed in a strike while in their armored vehicles in central Gaza. This is just after they helped deliver food and supplies in northern Gaza that had arrived by ship from Cyprus. WCK reports two of their branded iron cars were hit while leaving a warehouse in the Gazan town of Deir Bala. We here at the Israel Daily News send our heartfelt condolences to the families, friends, and community of those seven aid workers who were trying to do good in the world. Iran and Hezbollah have vowed retaliation for a strike on Tehran's consulate in Damascus, Syria, which killed two IRGC generals. Those generals are Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. Iran's Supreme National Security Council, chaired by President Ibrahim Raisi, decided on a response, blaming Israel for the attack, while Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei promised punishments. It's unclear if Iran will directly respond or continue to respond using their proxy groups like Hezbollah. The U.S. reportedly informed Iran that it had no involvement in the attack, though tensions remain high in the region amid ongoing conflict involving Iranian-backed groups and Israel, the prime example being Hezbollah, which is operating out of southern Syria and southern Lebanon in an effort to attack Israel. Monday night, the Knesset approved what is being dubbed the Al Jazeera Law, which gives the government temporary powers to prevent foreign networks from operating in Israel if seen as a threat to national security. That, in this case, it's a foreign news network. The law passed 71-10 in its second and third readings in the plenum. The proposition has been headed by Communication Minister Shlomo Kari, who promises to shut down the Qatari-funded Al Jazeera news network in the coming days. His reason for this is, quote, "There won't be freedom of expression for Hamas mouthpieces in Israel. We have brought to fruition an effective and swift tool against those who use freedom of the press to harm Israel's security and IDF soldiers and who incite to terrorism during a time of war," end quote. The law is temporary and will expire on July 31st or earlier if the declaration of emergency is lifted. Under the law, an order to shut down a foreign news channel is valid for 45 days, but can be renewed for another 45-day period. Broadcasting can be ceased. Israeli offices can be shuttered. Equipment can be confiscated. Websites can be taken offline or blocked in Israel. The U.S. expresses concern over this legislation. The White House Press Secretary Katie Jean-Pierre says, quote, "We believe in the freedom of the press. It is critically important. The United States supports the critically important work journalists around the world do, and that includes those who are reporting on the conflict in Gaza. If those reports are true, it is concerning to us," end quote. Now, I've mentioned at least twice now Qatar, and I'll give you the short version if you're not clear about why Israeli officials are frustrated with Qatari negotiators and why Israeli officials are frustrated with Al Jazeera journalists working for this Qatari-funded news outlet. It's because Qatar has a long history of supporting and propping up terrorists, and currently Hamas is living in beautiful homes in Qatar, and Qatar is aware of it. And that's why we have this news story today about the Qatari-funded Al Jazeera, which Israel considers a threat to national security. Early Monday morning, the Israeli Defense Forces withdrew from Gaza City complex containing the Shifa Hospital. In its two-week raid that began on March 18th, the IDF says that it captured some 900 suspects, 500 of which confirmed to be terror operatives, and killed more than 200 gunmen during this time as well. That's the IDF. The IDF reports that among those killed and detained are top Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad commanders. The military also says it seized valuable intelligence in the Shifa raid, which is being considered one of the most successful operations in Gaza. Despite extensive evidence, Hamas still denies operating from Shifa Hospital. The IDF has left many complexes within Shifa burnt to the ground and out of service. I want to thank all of you for your interest in Israeli affairs, Israeli politics, our world politics. I also want to thank all of you who personally finance and fund the Israel Daily News podcast with monthly contributions. You can support us with monthly contributions by going over to our new website, israeldailynews.org. You can click on our donate tab. Our organization is operational thanks to listeners and supporters like you. In response for your contributions, I'll send a handwritten note to show my appreciation. You can also support us by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. 2, you can share the show with a friend. And 3, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at israeldaily.news, as well as Shanna Fold. My name has 2 N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. You can also find us on Twitter at Israel Podcast. We have an enchanting story to end us off today. I saw this one on the Jerusalem Post website, and honestly, the way that the writer did the lead in was so good. I just have to read you her version before I share the short details with you. So I'm going to give you her lead, and then I'm going to give you the facts and figures, and then we're going to go, go, go. This was written by Judy Siegel Itzkovich. She writes, "A lamp that lit up the nights for Roman soldiers guarding a fort on the Scorpion's Ascent in the south, along an important ancient trade route over which copper and possibly gold were transported, was discovered 90 years ago. Now, on the same exact spot, a 16-year-old high school pupil on a school trip has found a second one." Then the story details how 16-year-old Yonatan Frankel discovered a 1,600-year-old oil lamp near the late Roman fort of Mizad Safir. Frankel's class stopped for lunch on their field trip when Frankel was looking through some rocks and noticed a pattern on one of the pieces that he picked up. His teacher handed it over to the Antiquities Authority, and it turned out that it was a lamp that had been used by Roman soldiers guarding the area. The trade route had a number of forts along the way, and Roman soldiers relied on lamps to give them light when walking the way between the forts. The Israel Antiquities Authority commended this young man for his good citizenship. A similar lamp was found in the same location 90 years ago by the late archaeologist Dr. Nelson Gluck. The lamps provide insight into the ancient trade routes and fortifications in the region. The experts think this lamp was made in Petra, Jordan. I love these archaeological stories, and I hope you do too. All right, well, that is it for today's show. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Tel Aviv has a low of 14 degrees Celsius and a high of 21 degrees. That's 58 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 69 degrees for the high. Subscribe to the Israel Daily News Podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're hearing it from. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week. And of course, with a personal note from me at the top. You can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. A big thank you goes out to our social media director, Michelle Milner. I'll send you off with a song called Day and Night by Shalom David Crane, a piano player living in Jerusalem. Have a great and productive day.